Orca whales. They're smart and beautiful, and they have a lot to say. Scientists have long suspected that whales have language, and new research suggests that they even have local dialects. What you're hearing is a recent gathering of all three pods of Puget Sound's endangered southern resident orcas. I'm sure you can tell by the accents. This recording comes to us courtesy of Jeannie Hyde. She works at the Whale Museum in Friday Harbor on San Juan Island, and she's much more than a whale enthusiast. At least one colleague calls her the Jane Goodall of the whales. And she has spent an inordinate amount of time listening to orca language. KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe went for a visit and got a peek into her world.
On a windy bluff at Lime Kiln State Park on the west side of San Juan Island, Jeannie Hyde unlocks the door of a 100-year-old lighthouse. It's a lab for marine scientists now.
Wow. What is all this?
Inside, handwritten data on whale sightings covers whiteboards that line the walls. And in a back room, a cable leads to underwater microphones called hydrophones that capture whale sounds and stream them out live over the internet.
You can listen in 24/7 for free anywhere in the world, the Lime Kiln hydrophones.
A few steps away in the park, there's a listening station with a speaker so visitors can hear what's going on under the water with the push of a button.
So here's the button, you just push it, and this is live from the ocean. 24/7, you can come down here and push that button all you want, and it's live from the ocean.
Unfortunately, there are no whales in range today. The sound is just water rushing by. But when the endangered southern resident orcas are in the San Juans, they often come to the cove in this park to feed on salmon. Jeannie says she's seen how time and time again, people's faces light up with amazement when they hear whale sounds here.
When you turn on the hydrophones and they're right there in front of you going by and you hear these sounds, you might not necessarily know what is going on, but you hear these sounds and now you're in another dimension of their world.
Her eyes light up beneath the brim of a baseball cap whenever this spry 70-something-year-old shares her passion. She sports a long, thin braid and appears ready to go anytime an orca calls. This park is where Jeannie Hyde fell in love with the local whales 15 years ago when she was in her late 50s.
And I have been intently listening to them since probably about 2008, and that's 24/7, 365.
You're obsessed.
Okay. This is all I do. I rarely go off island. I don't go to the movies. I don't go to dinner. If I wanted to know who these whales are and what was going on, I had to be there. I had to see them as much as I could. And I can't answer why. It just is.
She says in retrospect, it was a midlife crisis that led her here. In the late 1990s, she was an accountant and facilitator working in school districts in California. She loved her job, but got inspired by the movie Free Willy to take a vacation in Washington, where she went whale watching for the first time. She got hooked and came back every year until she eventually arranged to stay for a whole summer in 2004.
And I wound up being a docent at Lime Kiln Point State Park. Back in those days, and they don't do that now, but back in those days, I was able to sleep in a tent. And I slept in a tent all summer long. And one of the best things about tents is there's no walls. And so the whales would wake me up in the middle of the night. And I slept in my clothes and had my shoes by the door. And I'd run down in the middle of the night, and there they were, right in front of the lighthouse. This is amazing, absolutely amazing.
She realized she couldn't go back to city life. She wanted to stay and get to know the whales, really get to know them, and their culture.
I couldn't just sit on the shoreline and watch whales. I needed to know who they were.
She made flashcards and learned as much as she could about all of them. But some were especially captivating. The great matriarch J2, for example, nicknamed Granny, who led her entire community and was the oldest southern resident orca whale ever known. She was estimated to be 105 when she died in late 2016.
Granny used to very commonly come, make a turn, and come right in toward the lighthouse. And it's like she knew there were beings there. And it wasn't once, it was time and time again. So there's much more going on with them than we have a clue.
As she continued to learn, she became fascinated by not just the sounds of the orca calls, but their possible meanings. Researchers have found that communities of whales share numerous calls, indicating things like that they're foraging. The three pods of southern residents that are native to Puget Sound have 27 calls in common, but each family group has its own distinct dialect, and these can be used to almost immediately recognize which one has arrived in range of a hydrophone.
J pod has a downward, sort of goes down in the sound. K pod, like a bunch of kittens. An L pod. So those three are really very distinct to each pod. And then there's all these others that they have. So that's how I began.
What were they saying?
I haven't a clue.
There is a lot that researchers don't understand. Jeannie says that's largely because the orcas are only visible to humans about 5% of the time. And she says it's seeing what they're doing when they vocalize that leads to understanding.
And I remember one of those very first times that I really made that connection. A mom went by and her youngster, her one-year-old, was not with her. So immediately the alarm bells go off. Where is that youngster? And several minutes later, we started to hear this meow, meow over the hydrophones. And here comes this little whale porpoising. Every time it went under the surface, you'd hear that call. Then it would porpoise again, hear that call. And then you started to hear a response, a faint call coming back. The juvenile would call again, and you'd hear that response. And we could see where mom was. We could see where the juvenile was. And when she got to mom, the call stopped. And that was like, oh my goodness. Look at what's going on. It's not just the hearing these things. It's being able to see them and hear them as well in order to learn a lot of these things.
She says that call from a youngster trying to catch up to mom is one she's come to recognize and that's been documented countless times. Another clear example of communication came just this past summer with a scene that eventually caught the attention of people around the world. A mother orca known as J35 or Tahlequah was spotted pushing her deceased calf. Jeannie remembers seeing her on the second day of what would become an unprecedented 17-day, 1,000-mile display of grieving behavior.
Here she was with that calf. She had two other whales on either side of her. They were right with her, and Tahlequah had the calf on her rostrum, which is above her mouth, and pushing it along, and they surfaced literally in front of us, totally in a state of shock that here she still had this calf. And as they dove, that calf came off her rostrum and they went past, and you could see the calf behind them, and you could hear the scream. And the three whales turned to go back to get the baby. And she picked it back up, and then they continued on. But you heard this really loud.
She described that exceptional encounter on her blog, along with a call for breaching the Snake River dams to help restore the Chinook salmon the orcas eat. The lack of their food means the whales are more spread out, less social, and less vocal now. Jeannie says she can't really explain what drew her to the whales or why they continue to fascinate her, but her chronicles get compared to tabloids.
I'm just a very inquiring mind. People have called me the TMZ of the whale world. I just want to know what's going on. And they are a soap opera. They're an unfolding, continual soap opera. And their story will go on, hopefully, for hundreds of years.
She's seen the southern resident population decline from 87 individuals when she first became a docent to just 75 now, including a newborn whale that has slim odds for survival, a tremendous drop in just 15 years. Jeannie documents all the cute and funny and weird things the whales do in an effort to get people to care. But when she talks about their struggle, it often brings her to the brink of tears.
Because I care. Too many people just want their pictures. It just is sad to me to see the disrespect for nature. Things change, things grow, but do we have to just throw things away, beings away?
Are you optimistic
generally or pessimistic about the long-term survival of the southern resident killer whales?
I have to be optimistic. There's no other choice. If you're pessimistic, you've given up. I get very upset with people who have already written these whales off. No, there's always a chance. Always a chance.
And so she continues to listen to their calls as often as she can, to keep track of every glimpse into their mysterious lives she can get every day of the year.
That story came from KNKX's Bellamy Palethorpe.